perk up your ears. Fun Drive is here. Become radio's best friend this year by donating now at cjsffundrive.ca or text donate to 778-782-2573 and be radio's best friend.
I have been waiting for years to tell you stories like the story you're going to hear today. I thought it was going to come much, much sooner. I have been optimistic. You know, covering the media in Canada, I recognize and I accepted that for a while it was going to be a bit depressing. There was going to be a lot of stories of newsroom closures and newspapers going under and layoffs. But I thought that that would run its course and then we would quickly get on to the next phase of rebirth and rejuvenation, because I think it's just fundamental. People wake up in the morning and they want to know what's going on. And if the legacy media just has a broken model and can't do that anymore, I never really doubted that somebody else would step in and provide that information to people and figure out a way to turn a buck. And I thought those stories would be a lot more interesting to tell. Maybe I, you know, kind of looked forward to telling the stories of 1,000 little Canada lands across the country, people doing different versions of what we do here and breathing new life into this news thing. And it just didn't come. I mean, drips and drabs of new stuff, but for the most part, the phase of layoffs and dying media, it's just dragged on over the year. I mean, look at Regina. You can't really call the small city of Regina a news desert. They still have a newspaper. They still have the CBC. But if you actually look under the hood, they stopped printing the newspaper in Regina. They stopped editing it in Regina. The editor lives somewhere else. I don't know who actually reports for the Regina Leader Post anymore. These are zombie news organizations. There have been layoffs at the CBC. Everyone who purports to be telling people in Regina what is going on in their own community is doing so with less resources than ever before. And that has made it difficult for somebody to step in and fill that vacuum. But somebody did. Garbage. That's not a value judgment. That is not my opinion necessarily of this news source in Regina. It's just the objective truth. They're a garbage company. Just Bins provides dumpsters and news to the people of Regina. And they may be providing news to more people in Regina than anyone else. In a moment, our reporter Kevin O'Keefe is going to bring you this story. And what you're going to learn is that being a garbage company is not a liability in the news business in Canada. It's actually a plus. Wait for it. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Jesse. How are you?
I'm well.
Buckle up.
All right. If I had asked you, like, a couple years ago, what kind of company Just Bins is, what would the answer be?
The smart money's on garbage company.
It's a garbage company.
It's a garbage company.
Garbage is a big industry. I guess it's right there in the title. Just Bins?
Yes. They sell bins. So these are like if you do home renovations and stuff and you get a big bin in your driveway to put all your garbage in, they kind of rent that to you.
Let me ask you now what kind of company Just Bins is.
Well, they are still a garbage company that deals in online news. Bear with me. I actually talked to the owner, Adam Snook. I asked Adam kind of how he went from garbage to news, which for some people may not be a big stretch, but for us it was. And there's a couple of clips of his news in here. Just take a listen.
So we started off just with memes and kind of jokes on our Facebook page to spread our name and as a cheap form of advertising. And I guess it just evolved into current events from there.
Did that just happen by accident or was that planned?
And it probably started as, you know, accidents, things like that. They're slowing traffic down or trains or YRPS or the police service has a street blocked off.
Around noon on July 17th, Saskatoon police were called the Royal University Hospital. On the evening of July 25th, a man was seen speeding through a red light at Albert and 6th Avenue North with a flat front tire. Early Tuesday morning, police were dispatched to a robbery in progress in the Heritage neighborhood.
People will send us videos or pictures of people breaking into their garage, and we'll post them, and, you know, people will message us with names. So, yeah, I guess it's just taken on a life of its own.
So as you heard, they use that free kind of female voice to voice all their news.
Yeah, I recognize that from like a million TikTok videos. It's that like free text-to-speech AI voice that mispronounces things?
Now, sometimes it's the voice. Sometimes it's just a meme. They post up to 30 times a day on their Facebook and Instagram. I checked it out. So they have a total of 150,000 followers. So that's over half the population of Regina. They just cover Regina. So I'm just curious.
They have 150,000 followers?
Between Instagram and Facebook, yeah.
Wait,
and there's only 250,000 people in Regina.
And it's mostly like Regina news?
Yeah, 100% Regina news.
But news is banned on Facebook.
So we'll get into why.
But garbage isn't.
Exactly. That's the key
to
this.
Oh my God, he's a genius.
So that's my question to you is, what are your thoughts? Do you think this is evil genius? Do you think this is insane? As somebody who's worked in news and myself for many years, what are your initial thoughts that a garbage company now is covering news in Regina?
I'm going to withhold any opinion until I get a better sense of exactly what this is. And I'm just astonished by what you're telling me. 150,000 people, over half of the population of Regina are following this.
Getting their local news. He has some rules about what he posts and what he doesn't post and how he became so successful.
You got to have standards in the garbage
well,
news business.
Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Let me play this clip for you about how he decides what he's going to post.
We don't post things on what's happening in Ottawa. We focus solely on Regina. And we're not sitting down at the city hall meetings or meetings at the ledge recording things like that. We want to be able to post why traffic's down in an area. That's the kind of info we're looking for.
So he's like hyper-local. It's news and information of immediate use to the people of Regina. And I also did a little digging. He's broken a few stories. This is interesting. So he found a leaked memo from the city of Regina, and he posted it to Just Bin's Facebook group that they're on the hook for $8 million in repayments to the Canadian Revenue Agency. So he has broken some real stories, and then local media picked it up after that. But I'm just curious for you, Jesse, do you get some news and information from citizen journalist groups?
I have no idea. I mean, probably. I think that the notion of a citizen journalist, as we used to talk about it in sort of theoretical terms, and then what that actually is, some people would call us.
Yeah.
So for sure, I get information from some rando on Twitter and it turns out to be true. That happens a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah. Short answer is yes, I have.
Yeah, and I think you're right. The definition of what is news and what is traditional news is changing and evolving, and the lines are being blurred. In the interest of transparency, I get some local news. I'm from Nova Scotia. I grew up in Cape Breton, and I find myself on Facebook, and I get some information from this woman here. Take a listen.
Good morning, everyone. Janet Dermody here, Cape Breton Originals, at the North Sydney Ferry exit. If you are against this carbon tax, like most of us are, we want to know why you're not here with us showing support. Literally, we should. Hey, guys, Janet here, Cape Breton Originals. So I'm at CBU University over here in Cape Breton, and we've got a lot of angry students. So we've got... Morning, everyone. I am outside of the Sydney Courthouse in Charlotte Street. We are here for Justice for Talia. With me right now is a friend of the family.
So that's Janet Dermody. She mm-hmm. runs a Facebook group, as you heard, called Cape Breton Originals, and she grew up on the island, and I grew up on the island, so sometimes I listen to watch her to get all the hot gossip from Glace Bay, Howie Center, New Waterford. if you want to know what they're serving for brunch at the Legion on Sunday, tune in. But she does actually cover what some of us may describe as real news. So I watched a lot of her coverage. There's a big protest in Sydney, Nova Scotia. They were going to build a homeless shelter. They're called pallet shelters. And some of the local people didn't like the location of where they're going to be built, in the pier, which is where my mother's from. So Janet, again, live on the scene, streaming everything every day. Oh, and one of the things I love is... for a microphone, she has a wooden spoon that she tapes a little lapel mic to. So that's her live on the spot handheld microphone.
Amazing.
Is a wooden spoon. Anyway, so here's some of her coverage of that event.
Hey guys, Janet here with Cape Breton Originals. I am at the proposed location right now in Whitney Pier that is getting the pallet shelters. As you can see, within the last 20 minutes, there has been a rush of residents coming down here. So they went to a meeting last night. It was a private community meeting, and they were under the impression February 5th there was going to be some answers for what they had questions regarding. They were quite surprised when...
So, I mean, you may think that people like Janet or the garbage company aren't real journalists, and this is just for fun and silly.
She sounded great. She sounded like none of that stilted news presentation. That sounded urgent and energetic and informative.
Yeah. And that's the captivating thing about her, I think, when you watch it, is it comes off very authentic, because
yeah,
it's not, I'm so-and-so from CTV News and I know everything. Like, it's very, she's in the heat of the moment, and there was a scene where she met Per Polyev at the airport and she was shaking because she was so excited to meet him. And
yeah, I haven't spent enough time with it to know if it's, I bet, just based on the news aesthetics,
yeah,
of like, I'd get my information from that lady.
Yeah, and Just Bins, I mean, we can joke about them all we want, but they actually did win Best Online News from a local Regina publication. So I asked Adam how it felt about winning Best Online News.
You won Best Online News publication. What was that? Were you shocked when you won?
Yeah, it's a local popularity contest on a small local website. So the moment we posted the link, I mean, nobody else had a chance. But I think it just shows you the state of what people trust and where they're going to get their information from going forward. Look at CBC, their national listenership and viewings across the country. It's for the dollars they consume. It's
non-existent.
Non-existent, exactly.
Are you surprised that they won Best Online News?
No, I've long known the truth behind every journalist who presents themselves as award-winning journalist. We have more awards in this country than we have journalists.
Yeah.
I appreciate his honesty about it. That one was... click-based popularity contests.
Yeah. And I used to work at CTV News, and I can remember sitting in the meetings and just looking at, like, the demographic of who was listening and who was watching. And mainstream media on television was just declining as online internet people was skyrocketing. So the award that they won, Best Online News, was from a local Regina publication called Prairie Dog Magazine. So they're like an alternative paper. You know, they have Now Magazine in Toronto, The Coast in Halifax. So here's Prairie Dog editor Stephen Whitworth on just how Just Bins won Best Online News.
When we were doing the Best of Regina last year, we had all these media categories. We had Best Online News. So during the nomination round, a lot of people nominated Just Bins. And they're clearly not a news outlet, but it was funny to me. And I thought on the basis of it's funny, we should probably do it. And of course, they destroyed everyone because all the kids follow Just Bins and they won the category.
So remember, like, that was a year ago, and there's been a lot of evolution in Canadian media in the last year or so, and we get into that. But I think at the time for Stephen, it was kind of like a funny joke. Like, isn't this kind of funny that a garbage company, and we were laughing even before we came on air, and we were talking about the story that, oh, isn't that funny? Like, people always say news is garbage, and now a garbage company actually won for Best Online News.
It's also a long tradition of these alternative news weeklies doing, you know, the People's Choice for the Best in the City. And
that's what they
do. You
know,
you would often have, like, you know, Best Fancy Meal. And it would be like the hot dog guy on the corner of this one. You know,
it's like tongue-in-cheek, and they had fun with it. So funnily enough, when I did that interview with Stephen, he was picking the nominees for this year's Best of Regina Awards. So I asked him, is Just Bins going to be on the ballot again this year? Here's what he said.
We're not going to allow a nomination through again. So
why not?
Well, in the first place, Just Bins isn't news.
It sounds pretty definitive.
He's not laughing anymore. Like I say, he thought it was kind of funny and kind of tongue-in-cheek. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why he's not laughing anymore. And I know there was a big event happened online for Canadian news media a little over a year ago. Any idea what that was?
That was things did not go as planned in trying to get some money out of Mark Zuckerberg.
Exactly. So we thought that the government of Canada is going to strong arm these big tech giants Facebook, Instagram run by Meta, Google, and basically Meta just said, you, we're just going to take it off. And I'm sure, I mean, I'm assuming that's what happened at Canada Land. You guys lost your Facebook page.
Yeah, we cannot share news on Facebook or Instagram.
How did that impact you guys?
Less than others.
Oh.
Yeah, we don't sell ads on our website. We got a significant amount of traffic through Facebook.
Yeah.
And not just Bin's numbers.
Yeah.
But we had a significant audience on Facebook, and it did lead people to our website. And then some of those people listen to the podcast, which is where we do sell ads, and we do try to get people to support us financially. So it took a little bit off of us. But any like text-based digital news, especially local news websites that were not doing weird new formats on Facebook community pages, but are just like local news, a bunch of articles about local news, I've been reading like very significant losses.
Yes.
Double digit, like 20, 30, 40% traffic losses. Like what happened was really bad.
Yes.
For the industry.
And Stephen's magazine, Prairie Dog, is a great example of that. 200 Canadian news outlets had all their content blocked. And I asked Stephen, you know, how that affected him. Here's what he told me.
Yeah, it interrupts a big connection to our audience. And now that we're online only, it's especially devastating. So everything works together to crush us and media in general.
It was bad before and now it's worse.
Yeah. Never assume you know where the bottom is.
So he included Just Bins on the ballot as a joke, but it does look
jokes
like
on him
the
now.
Joke's on
He's
him.
He's not laughing. And there are other things going on here. I mean, as you mentioned, alluded to before, you know, quote-unquote real news organizations, we have standards and reasons why we can post things and not. But like, I used to work at CTV News at W5 before coming here, and there's policies and rules and regulations. I just can't see some great, cool video that someone sends me and post to our Facebook and get, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people liking it. I'm not allowed to do that because I have to check my sources. There's rules around, you know, what we can post, personal identifying information, license plates, people's homes, images of suicide. Like, I'm sure at Canada Land, you guys have standards by which you can post and not post things.
What you're describing is not necessarily the policy of a company, though it gets codified into the policies of companies. What you're describing is the practice of journalism.
Yes.
And Just Bins is free to do journalism well as anybody is. I don't know if they do or they don't. I'm just learning about them for the first time.
Yeah.
It's just a process through which you try to find out if it's true or not.
Yeah.
And then it's a process through which you try to convey it in a responsible way.
Yeah. Because they're a garbage company, they feel they're not beholden to any of that process. They can do whatever they want because they're just a garbage company.
Has that been an issue? You told me a second ago that they're not without value. I mean, we can laugh and sneer at like the AI voice and the cheesy music, but by your own reporting on them, they have broken stories.
Yes, they have broken stories. At the same time, they've also posted some stuff, and I'd like to get into that a bit about this. Caused quite a bit of controversy around Regina. And I asked Stephen from Prairie Dog magazine. He saw an image not that long ago, and he really is a great example of kind of the sting that you're just kind of surfing around Facebook and something pops up on your feed. Here's what he saw.
There was a photo posted of somebody who had committed suicide and there was a blanket on them. And in the end, you saw that, but did you not know that person?
I did know the person, but at the time I saw the photo, I didn't know it was the person I knew. Her name was Sarah. I often chatted with Sarah in the park. And it was really weird and disturbing. And it kind of added an extra layer to the fact that I heard about my friend's suicide on Just Bins. I didn't know it was my friend, but, you know, that's really grim.
Well, you don't want the person's friends and family to learn about their suicide through a picture that you post.
Yeah.
So first you consider the harm to the people directly affected, yeah. And then you think about contagion and you think about things like
exactly.
That. Did Just Bins think about those things?
No. And another interesting controversy that came up. Recently, they also posted a picture, this meme, and I brought it in a copy for you, so I want to show it to you now. So here's a picture that Just Bins posted. As you can see, it's pictures of three people pushing a baby carriage, and they're talking about a street called Dewdney Avenue, which runs through the center of Regina.
So here I see the first one is north of Dewdney, and it's an angelic, beautiful mom
right.
pushing her blonde baby in a stroller on a nice summer day. Then it says south of Dudney, and it's a couple all cozied up in winter wear pushing a stroller, but there's a dog in the stroller. This older couple taking their dog for a walk in a stroller. And then finally, on Dudney. And this looks like some kind of homeless person pushing a stroller. I can't quite make out what's in the stroller.
Garbage, yeah.
It's garbage.
So and what's your impression when you see that?
It's juvenile humor that's in poor taste.
Yeah, so basically there was a teacher in Regina who saw that. She lives on Dudney, and she does a lot of work in the community to break down stereotypes and empower her neighborhood, and she was really upset when she saw that. And I thought this was kind of interesting. She wanted to use it as a learning opportunity in her class. So she ended up doing an assignment the next day when she came into class, and she said, and I quote, she wanted the students to write a letter to a business that, quote, targets or objectifies social inequity. So she wrote out a little assignment. She said, I saw this picture on Justbin's website. So you could write a company like this, you know, media literacy. If you see something online that you don't like, how do you complain about it? Like trying to empower her students.
And I assume some of them did send complaints to Justbin's.
Not only did they send complaints to Justbin's, but they screen grabbed the picture of her assignment and sent it to Justbin's. And then Justbin's posted it to their website. So I asked Justbin's owner, Adam, why he decided to post it.
Wait, is this the teacher's email address?
That's her name and her email.
So she put our company name on a school assignment and wanted the class to write a letter to us. So we had probably 20 students in that class send us a screenshot of this. And of course, the teacher had her email address and her name at the bottom. So I just posted it. I said, here's the letter. Essentially, this is what you're education tax dollars are going towards.
Can you guess what happened to that teacher next?
Nothing good.
Here is Exhibit A. I want you to take a look. There was over 200 comments posted to that image of her classroom assignment, and you can read me some of those comments.
All right, here are the public comments. These were posted to Facebook?
Yeah.
So this was posted to half of Regina.
Yep.
Here's what people said about this teacher. Hurt lib trash, forcing their opinions and ideology on a captive audience. Despicable. I hope she enjoys her subscription. F*** them if they can take a joke. I think they meant to say f*** them if they can't take a joke, but holy leftist indoctrination, Batman. I had her as a teacher in high school. She was bat. So just a pile on.
Just a pile on. And what someone else did, it actually went offline. So because someone posted her picture to the comments, everybody knew what she looked like. So everywhere she went, people knew who she was. People at the gym, they came up to her. At the grocery store, they came up to her. Like you say, it was a bit of a pile on. They used the term Karen a lot. And I asked Stephen, because this teacher stopped following Justbin's, and Stephen, the Prairie Dog editor, stopped following Justbin's. And I asked him about why he stopped following them. Here's what he told me.
If you want to laugh at the wretched foibles of humanity, you can do that. But it also has a tendency often to punch down. It picks on people probably disproportionately, far disproportionately, who are poor or maybe indigenous a little bit.
And I know you said that Justbin's had more than half of the city of Regina taking on this teacher with like 20 students. So I asked Adam, I just said, does he regret at all what he did posting her school assignment with her name and email, and then somebody posting her photo? And here was his response.
Like, in this day and age, in this education system, you have time to pick on a local garbage company. So, but the thing is, she has the right to say it. Like I said, I'm a free speech absolute. If she's going to put that out there, there's going to be repercussions. We're going to screenshot the letter and put it out there. So, you know, really, is that, I don't know, you just, it's the whole you can give it, but you can't take it scenario. Mm. And we can give it, but we also take it. So
when it suits him, he's a local garbage company.
Yeah.
The equivalency that he draws there, like of who's giving it and who's taking it. When she gave it to her 20 students. And when he gave it to half the city.
And again, it's not a fair equivalency. He just gave it as his company. He gave her name and her email and her photo. So it's not really like a fair balance.
Yeah. I mean, that guy.
How do you really feel about it, Jesse? Don't sugarcoat it. I will say I did push back a bit on Adam, and he did admit that at times they have actually removed posts and images that people found offensive.
Like if somebody messaged us with a valid point, and there's been posts we've taken down over the years because on reflection or family has messaged us, it's like, okay, fair enough, I see your perspective, so it comes down.
At the very beginning of the podcast, you were reticent to weigh in on what you thought of garbage companies supplying news to the city of Regina. So I just want to, if we could shift a bit and have a discussion about the future of news in Canada. So is this the future here?
On the early evening of September 15th, a man rode up on a bicycle to a woman in an alley on 1400 block Arthur and Rosemont while pointing a handgun and demanding money.
Do you think that's how we're going to be getting more and more of our news? Are you optimistic or pessimistic?
Two different questions. Are we getting our news through things like that? Absolutely. I started to see this when I was reporting from Thunder Bay, and that actually they have a decent amount of local news, but it was increasingly poorly served by mainstream news over the years, and a community Facebook page popped up, and that community Facebook page was both a source of information you could not get anywhere else,
yeah,
and an ugly show,
yep,
of poverty porn and crime reporting and doxing. So whether I like it or dislike it, whether I'm optimistic or pessimistic, if the first question is, are we getting our news this way? We absolutely are.
I asked Stephen from Prairie Dog Magazine about it because, again, this is a local publication that's been in Regina for decades, and things, unfortunately, aren't looking good for them. They used to be in print. They ran out of money to do that. Now they're online. Then with the Meta ban, they can't share any of their content to their followers. But just to be clear, he doesn't blame this on Just Bins, and he doesn't regret giving them the Best Online News Award last year.
Just Bins is not destroying Canadian media. If Canadian media was healthy, you could still have a Just Bins in the corner, even when they're being awful. I want a curated media run by professionals or semi-professionals or at least competent people who can make distinctions between qualified sources and even outsider voices who have something credible to say and wingnuts.
Is it fair to say then you see Just Bins as a symptom of a much bigger problem?
Yes, Just Bins is the symptom, not the disease.
I mean, I did ask Stephen from Prairie Dog, and I don't want to end this discussion on a really pessimistic note that we're all but he did have some good news for me, and he did see some solutions.
There's sort of a powerlessness and helplessness that good people have where they just don't know what to do, even when the right thing to do is very simple. If you send a small donation to media outlets if you can afford it. If you own a business or a company, support them with advertising. We've raised 60 grand without tax deductions from readers this year.
So local Regina readers have donated $60,000 to him this year to save his publication.
To save Prairie Dog.
Because they believe in it. So, I mean, there is a glimmer of hope in there that if people support local news in their efforts to bring them verified, factual information about what's happening in their community, there is some hope there.
Some people might support Prairie Dog to do real news, but half the people...
Over half
the people turn to Just Bins to actually get their news.
So I asked Adam from Just Bins about the future of his publication.
Yeah, has helped your business?
Yeah, well, I think it definitely has. I mean, like I said, there's going to be some small percentage of people that are going to vote against us with their dollars and not get a bin from us, and that's okay because we were never going to have 100% of the market anyway, but I know it's helped us grow from what we were, but it's not about that anymore because we're as big as we're going to get with the type of service we provide in this market. So now it's just about whether what we're doing is providing a service, and it's quite clear that it is, so we'll continue to do it. I'm not sure what it evolves into. I mean, because the majority of our material is just coming from our followers, like I suppose if the followership dried up, the material would dry up, and so would the posting.
It appalls me that this guy can build a massive audience specifically because he's not news. Right. I can't publish to Facebook and he can.
Yes.
Because he's not news.
Exactly.
But that's not his doing. So I take some hope.
Good.
I would rather see dozens of things like his pop up and gradually gain standards and one day say, you know what, let's hire a reporter. I've seen that happen in communities. I'd rather that than a bunch of